Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Pony and Muller presented by Chafe and Luhana. Injury law firm doing good by doing right. Pirates baseball, a schedule change. First pitch, 5 o'clock on the Fan. It's not a TV game, so the only place to keep up with the last Pirates tune-up before they kick off the regular season in St. Louis Friday night is here, and it starts at 5 o'clock. Very brief pregame, and then they'll get to first pitch shortly thereafter at PNC Park. John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL insider, the Hall of Famer, joins us right now on 93.7 The Fan. John, rookies were supposed to report to Pittsburgh yesterday, but a bunch of them are still unsigned, including their top pick, Chase Claypool, out of Notre Dame. What's the holdup on these draft picks getting signed, John?
Mainly to get to the facility and take a physical, or at least having a way to do that. And you can see that there's 24 teams, including the Steelers, that haven't had their training camp protocol approved yet by the Players Association. But that's just a formality, and that's why there's a little bit of a delay. And so once that's all approved, then you can have, because now two of the draft choices are done, because they were able to get McFarland done today just a little bit ago. So they have four more to go. But, what you can see, the pace of getting the draft choices signed is immense right now. I mean, there's 167 players that have now signed their deals, and that started at 93 at the beginning of the week. And so there's about 15 teams that have all their draft choices signed. There's 18 first-rounders. It's all coming together. But right now it's kind of like putting all these things together as far as protocol, physicals, you name it. And then, of course, once they report, then they get their first test.
John, what's the current status of just the back and forth in general, financial, otherwise, safety-related protocols between the NFL and the NFLPA? What's the next major announcement or thing that fans should expect?
Well, the first one is to figure out, let's just say on this season, if there's a shortage of the season. You start the year, it's one of the things that's in the collective bargaining agreement. If you're a vested vet for more than 4 years in the league, if you play the first game, your contract's guaranteed the rest of the year. And so they have to work on a settlement as far as if all of a sudden, things go down in week 3, week 10, whatever it's going to be, that they'll work out. Then, of course, the big one is trying to figure out what to do under next year's cap, because and that's going to go back and forth and take a little bit more time, because, and there's been so many crazy figures out there, but basically there's going to be $40 million of lost cap revenue that's going to count, because, again, it's 48% next year, and so they're going to be down $40 million with the losses this year if there's nobody in the stadiums. And so now the owners want to try to make that up either in the first year, which is unfeasible this year, because, again, if the cap goes down to 155, just about every team has to break up. Mm-hmm. So figuring that they're probably going to try to keep the cap at 198.2, they've got to make $40 million of split. The owners want to do it over a 2-year period. The players want to do it over a 5 to 8 year period. And if you do it over a 2-year period, the problem is going to be that means a couple years of flat caps. And if you go back to 2012, which was the second year of the collective bargaining agreement and the last time there was a flat cap, all the franchise numbers, which of course are tied to the cap, went down 20%. So, like, for example, all the running backs are hoping to get $10 million plus. They can be a franchise probably next year if they keep the cap flat at a little under $8 million. And so that's where they negotiate. But they got to get the protocols done first.
John Clayton with us. John, do you think that Steelers training camp will open on time less than a week from now?
I think so, yeah. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, because it just takes time to review the protocols and go back and forth at them. You know, eight of them have already been approved, and so what you have is that, and again, you know, that's why the players, I think, were smart in taking the position that, we've got to not have any preseason games. Because think about the reality of if you're a player coming in on the 28th, okay, you then are, you're being tested at the first day. You're 2 days in the hotel or at home doing Zoom meetings. Then on fourth day, you come back, you take another test, you wait a day or two to see if you pass it, and if you pass it, then you're eligible to at least go in there and start conditioning. And so there's no reason to wait past the 28th, because you're not going to do anything in the first week. And so they're still negotiating the final legs of how many days you're going to have the conditioning going. The players want a little bit more than coming back on the 18th of August and putting pads on then. They want it a little longer than that. And I think they'll get a few extra days, but not too much more than that.
John, how much of an impact do you think having no preseason games is going to have on quality of play in the league this year, at least early on?
Early on, it's going to be a mess. But again, you just try to make the best of the bad situation. And it was smarter not to risk viruses, not to risk injuries. And that's what you worry about more than anything else, because you either bring the virus into the team, bring it to your home. But then the other problem is going to be what happens to the injuries. Because one of the things the players were smart in revisiting was the fact that there's going to be so many more injuries with the games, because there's going to be ACL injuries. Back in 2012, there was 2011, when there was no off-season program, they doubled the number of Achilles injuries. They had over 50 ACLs. Hamstring injuries were over 44%. So you want to try to minimize the injuries, and that's why you want this three-week period to get the bodies ready, so you try not to get too many injuries. But it's going to be impactful, because teams that have changes on the offensive lines are going to have problems. Offense is going to have a little problem starting up. I mean, that's why it's almost going to be better to be a little bit more of a running team early to simplify things and then try to get things going. Because even now, when you have the four preseason games, and you don't play all the starters in it, it takes about a month to get the offensive lines up together.
John Clayton with us. John, fans at games, I'm going to give you three groups. You rank them for me in terms of who has the most say or who will ultimately have the biggest say in whether or not we see fans, even at a limited number, inside NFL stadiums like Heinz Field this fall. State and city officials, the NFL, or the teams themselves?
State and government officials, whether it's going to be local or it's going to be the government. I think you can see that going on right now with what it might or might not happen with the Blue Jays. And I think you're seeing it in New York. You've seen, because they've already said, no fans in the stands. I was kind of surprised with all the battle that's going down in Georgia, which is one of the five worst states right now for the virus. They came back and the team said, we're going to have $10,000 to $20,000 people for the opener against Seattle September 13th, where you got a governor who wants that. And I don't think the mayor, who's being sued by the governor for masks, wants that. But it's going to be the state and local officials dictating it, because they got to see where they are with the virus and how much the problem is going to cause if you're going to have all these people going into the stands or not.
John, what amount of money, if say like 10,000 to 20,000 fans were allowed at 2/3 of NFL stadiums this fall, how much money realistically does the league feel like they could recoup if they could get some fans in the building? Are we talking about an amount that might even be a billion plus?
No, I think if they can get fans in the stands, you can probably, because right now the estimates are it's going to be $3 to $3.5 billion. And so if you're able to cut that down, you can probably get it, not a billion, because you're not getting a third, but at least you can get it into the mid twos as far as the losses. Then, of course, there's other things there that can make up the difference. If there's no college football, you can flex some games to Saturday, and you can get more money out of the networks, because the ratings are going to be huge. Because, again, if there's no college football, but that's still a big if. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got the sponsorship thing in the first eight rows of the stadium. You get a little bit of money for that. I mean, you can make up, I'd say, 20%. So that's at least $600 million or $700 million that you can make up if you can have fans in the stands.
Pony and Muller presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm Doing Good by Doing Right. While we've been having this conversation, the health department here in Pennsylvania has denied the Blue Jays the right to play at PNC Park. So we'll continue to talk about that story once we're done with John.
Can you give me a visual? Do we have like about 30 Toronto players standing outside the stadium right now with homeless signs?
They look like oboes. They've got the stick with the little bandana tied on the end of it. John, yeah, it's they're going to be basically interlopers or nomads this year from the looks of things. Antonio Brown, what ended up happening with another one of these boy who cried wolf retirement threats that he put out there, John, which as it turned out was a publicity stunt for his new album, believe it or not. I guess he's now a music mogul. Was that it caused fans here to think about his legacy a little bit more, and it also brought out a question of his Hall of Fame credentials. You are a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Do you think Antonio Brown is worthy of Canton, Ohio?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the 6 years he put together, you can't erase. And, you know, what he does off the field, and unlike some of the other Hall of Fames, you know, we don't consider the off-the-field things to be it. We do things on the field. And, I mean, the only thing would be just the shortening of his career. You know, if it's not, if this is going to be it, that can be taken into account. But, you know, he's one of the best on a six-year basis. And so I'd have to think that it may not be first ballot, but I think he does have a chance to make it.
John, can you settle a debate from yesterday's show? Andrew and I just each other's throats about this.
Don't put John in the middle of us.
Why? He's Braddock's own. And if anybody is qualified to answer this question, it is the professor himself. Better Steelers career, Hines Ward or Antonio Brown?
I'd go with Hines Ward.
Yes!
No! I'm going to go with Antonio Brown.
Oh! Yes! Yes!
Oh, yes! God! Yeah, late comeback. Like
that. You know, as great as Hines was, and see, the thing that doesn't help him out in some of the voting for the Hall of Fame is we don't take into account his blocking. I mean, because he was vicious. And he was a guy that, you know, again, is on the borderline of being in the Hall of Fame. We've talked about him for the last several years. But, you know, you look at Brown's numbers, and the numbers tend to win.
Yep. All right, Chris.
Yes, they do, John. Thank you very much.
So Andrew's mad at me now?
No, John.
Well, he was very happy for about 2 seconds and then very sad immediately thereafter.
You've got nine lives with me. The Jameis thing, okay. Now this, it's only a couple. It's not the end of the world. It's no big deal.
It's a close one.
Yeah. All right, John, any questions for us?
Okay, so we got the homeless Toronto Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. Is anything getting better as far as the numbers so that you can at least get some bar sales and dining?
Yeah, the county executive came out today and said that they're starting to see it go the other way. We got really bad because everything opened up and there was like a Mardi Gras reaction to it. People felt like they were back in college again.
Yeah, a lot of the dives that I used to frequent when I was 25 years old were putting them shoulder to shoulder with no masks. It was not a good situation.
I think we're starting to make a comeback here. So
yeah, it's confusing out here because our numbers have spiked so much as far as positive tests. Mm-hmm. But the reason for that is that we're now doing $17,000 to $18,000 17,000 tests per day.
Wow.
And we're still saying between 4% to 6%, which I think is good, but the test numbers are high because they're testing so much more. Yeah.
John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider, and when Chris and I have a debate, he mediates and has the final call. All right, John, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week, okay?
Okay, thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.